Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is back after a nice 4th of July extended weekend. Good to have Ray back engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to what feels like a Tuesday, but it is our midweek edition, a short work week. It's Wednesday, the 6th of July. The Buckmaster Show comes to you on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We live stream our show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And our live line number is open for you, 790-2040, if you'd like to join and enhance our conversation with the monthly showdown. The showdown features two gentlemen, as I like to say, who rarely agree on anything, but they agree that they like to come on this program, and they like to talk about their particular issues, which is good. Seated to the right of me, Mr. Sean McCluskey, weighing in at... No,
heavyweight.
Let me check those gloves there, Sean. Make sure there's nothing there, you know.
What are you trying to say?
Sean has been a dedicated Tea Party backer and Republican Party activist for a long time. And seated to the left of me, David Morales, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, which celebrated its five-year anniversary?
Six-year anniversary.
Six-year. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
David, you've been all over the place on Facebook saying that Prop 123, people had voted for it. Hey, big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I like about this is I'm a numbers guy. I teach mathematics at the college. And so give me numbers, give me budget books, give me everything, and I'm happy. So if you go to, threesonorans.com, and, you know, you can see, and actually, you know, it's been shared. It's been going viral. Like TUSD for Kids has been reposting a lot of the stuff lately. So basically, this is the interesting thing. We'll just get right to it, is... people like Sean are in a dilemma right now because Sean Sean likes two different Republicans. He likes Doug Ducey and he likes Michael Hicks, right? And very loyal to Doug Ducey, will always support him no matter what he does, even on Prop 123, which is horrible. But Prop 123 was a solution to 301 in some sense, right? And Prop 301 had provisions in there that said it had to go to teacher salaries.
Okay? They had specific allocations, absolutely correct.
So now this new 123 has none of that in there.
Has local control.
It's a phrase y'all don't like. Give the districts there.
It gives your elected board members the opportunity to do the right thing.
Okay.
And your board members here in TUSD failed miserably.
Okay. And local control was also the local TUSD board also supported Mexican American Studies, but that didn't matter to the state. Okay. So that's a moot point. But
no, it's dealing with your finances.
But here's the thing. You always go on the radio. I always hear you in the morning shows when you're covering for them. You always, and on this show, you always bash H.T. Sanchez. You say, stop giving them more money. Stop giving him more money.
How much does he make?
What did you do? You gave him more money with Prop 123 with no restrictions attached.
Cam Morris, Adelina Grijalva, and Crystal Foster.
You gave
HT more money.
Yes, and you gave them more money, and they spent less than 30% of that money on teachers.
Let me break this down for you.
Is that a fact?
Real quick.
Let Sean have the floor.
You had $224 million distributed at the end of the fiscal year. $172 million came directly from the state land trust, and $52 million that were brand new funds came in. Okay, without Prop 123, you would have only have received about $47 million in both fiscal years, 16 and 17.
Why? Because the 301 funds got raided by the Republicans.
Now, let's go to school districts that did the right thing. School districts that did the wrong thing, we just heard what TUSD did. TUSD failed you by Cam Juarez, Crystal Foster,
who did the right,
and Adelita Grijalva. They all voted to basically pilfer the funds from Prop 301, which allocated money to go directly to the teachers, and they said, we're going to give that money to the teachers and nothing from Prop 123.
And you knew they would do that.
Hold on. Now watch this.
Okay.
Other districts still receive the 301 money.
Yes.
They also receive the 123 money. Now, Scottsdale, SUSD, directs Prop 123 dollars towards the teachers. FUSD approves budget
what
with
percentage?
Prop 123 funds going towards the teachers.
What percentage?
Prop 123 funds brings financial relief to the Sierra Vista schools. Coolidge, Prop 123 brings
You're
more money to
the
schools,
question.
To the teachers. Hold on.
What percentage?
Hold on. Student increase raises go again in Wilcox. The Tanga Verde School Districts, you had, the Mingus School Board did a special meeting on Monday. They allocated all the money to go to the teachers.
No, they didn't. What percentage
yes,
of
they
these
did.
Districts?
The only one that did not do this, even though Gallus approved to give the teachers more money, the only one.
TUSD approved to give the teachers more money, too.
No. Not 30% from
133. 30% of the TUSD
what you're saying
money
applies
is going to teachers.
But other school districts gave all of their money to the teachers.
No, they didn't. I'll bet you on that. They didn't.
What I'm telling you is all their teacher raises came directly from Prop 123
yes,
money
and
to the
TUSD
teachers.
Gave a raise.
And what did
also?
I say on when I either was on this show or if I co-host for the guys on Wake Up in the Morning or if it was on Talk of the Town? I said from the very beginning, this is a bad idea to give the money to TUSD because you have a bunch of buffoons running the district rampant. You have two votes that
and yet
are responsible.
You voted to give them more money.
Absolutely, because it's the greater good for all the
you
students
contradicted
in the
yourself.
Entire state. It's the greater good. Now, I can have an uneducated workforce or I can have an educated workforce. I chose to educate the children and give more money to the teachers and hope to God that local control would take precedent and set the right path. Here in TUSD, they failed. So what's the next step? The next step is to vote them out in November. That's the only way you can fix it.
David,
because they keep giving money to HTC.
David, there was nothing in 123 that said all of the money had to go to teachers.
Exactly. And that's how it was sold. It was sold as such. And none of those districts that you mentioned gave all their money. They gave like 4% raises to the teachers. They
all the money came from 123.
Yes, but they didn't spend all their money
on
teachers.
Oh, no, of course not, because you have different school districts that, like Flagstaff, they needed new tires for their school buses because they have winter roads.
It was money meant for teacher raises, wasn't
some
it?
Of the, not all of it.
It was meant to the betterment of the children.
It was sold that way, yes. But there's nothing in it that says 100% of the 123 money had
and nobody
to go
ever
to
expected
teachers.
That.
So that's why you heard Arizona Treasurer Jeff DeWitt going off on the radio because
he didn't like the process. He didn't like taking it from the land trust.
See, here's the thing. He was saying don't vote for Proposition 123 because they're going to do this. And then what did you do? You said I'm going to vote for it because maybe they won't do that. And
no,
they
I
did
said
exactly
they'd do
that.
It in TUSD. But now other different school districts, like look at Marana, look at Vail.
What percent?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Did they improve the teachers'
TUSD?
Salaries?
Did TUSD improve the teachers' salaries?
Pathetically, yes.
So all right, let's go to the live line. Matthew has been calling and waiting for us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew.
Hi. I don't understand exactly what they're arguing about. They're arguing about reality. So, David, you seem to be upset that 123 passed. Get over it. It's over.
Well, okay. If there's a war I don't agree with, I don't just say, well, the war is reality. Get over it. It's been declared. No, you can still be opposed to something. You can still try to make change, can't you?
Well,
you know, you can move on and fight the next fight.
Yeah, and the next fight is that
so
that money has been given. So
David,
why not give
David,
it to teachers?
123 passed.
Yes. My
what's
argument is that
tell
that money can go to teachers.
What's the next fight is?
But what's the next fight,
the,
David?
The fight is to use that money to go to teachers.
Well, then say that.
I did
okay,
say that.
Now,
look at Three Sonoras. I've been saying that all week long.
Why don't you just agree with Sean and vote the board out?
Right now, they're voting to spend
why
that money.
Why are you arguing about 123?
I'm arguing about the spending of that money.
I disagree with your next battle that you say all the money should go to the teachers. Right now, we have an indiscriminate amount of money going to teachers. It just simply...
What does that mean, indiscriminate amount? What do you mean by that?
Because
we know exactly how much is going.
Because we just flooded the state of Arizona with 123 money. So... You
that
know,
money was
right
was
now,
robbed from 301. We have less money.
Districts fighting with each other, trying to outpay each other with regards to math and science and all the rest of it. So we have a small problem with regards to that we did flood the system with a lot of money. And yes, there's going to be teachers moving around because they think they can get more money here. They just like it's happened with police in the past.
Okay.
The best thing we can do. Is the school districts not to get into a war of money on salaries, but but to focus on building conditions that encourage teachers that want to be part of certain districts.
All right. Thank you very much, Matthew. And it is time to move on. Next topic coming up about this worker ID, photo ID. Southside Worker Center is issuing photo IDs to day laborers for $5 fee. Is it a good thing? I don't think Sean is going to think it's a good thing, but David probably will. It's the showdown. We'll be right back.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five-Star, Five-Star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five-Star, that's Five-Star, 886-0045 and FiveStarTermite.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at RTAMobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey is here and David Morales. We've been talking about Prop 123. Statewide, the percentage of money that's going to teachers is about 50%.
Okay. So yeah. The other part's going to necessary needs, but not in TUSD. What's the percentage? You said 30%?
Mm-hmm.
So TUSD's failing you. That's what it comes down to. It's reelect. Mark Stegman's the only guy that stands up for the teachers on the school board. Hicks follows his lead. And if you like the other three, it's time to replace them. I mean, because they're not doing what's best for the kids.
I agree.
They're not even doing what's best for the teachers who they're supposed to represent.
We shall see. The Southside Worker Center is issuing photo IDs to day laborers for $5. Several members have presented the ID to police without raising suspicion about their immigration status. David Morales, is this a good idea in your opinion?
Well, so this is the catch-22 that you know, this nation finds itself in, is we're a nation of laws, but the laws were written by certain people who impose certain restrictions on certain people, as if God himself made these almighty, you know, moral decisions. The thing is, laws that come and change, laws, you know, written by men in power usually. And we live in a society, if you look at the history of the United States, we have this history of dehumanization of certain groups of people. And part of that has to do with paperwork. So, you know, with slavery, what happens when you escaped from a from your master, the current day sheriff's department, which used to be the slave patrol, used to ask you for your papers. Where's your papers? Oh, you don't have papers? Go back to being a slave. Then you fast forward to now, we have the same situation where you have 11, 12 million people, and that's an interesting number because that's also the same people in 1930s Germany that country didn't want, that they wanted to get rid of, that they thought was a threat. Well, you can't get documentation because you're undocumented, but you're undocumented because you can't get documentation because the system is not set up that way. So what happens is you have all these people living in the shadows of society. For whatever reason, you can demonize them or not, but they're still living here and you still benefit from them daily. You know, if you eat food, they're probably picking your food or something. And now that what they want is they want some ID. And because they used to be able to get driver's licenses in Arizona, but Arizona said, no, illegals. They're horrible. They're undocumented, or they're worse than that. So now they have nothing. Now, how do you identify people without documentation?
Okay, let's break this down on a lower level. Mm-hmm. The city council always comes out and says they're for the working poor. Mm-hmm. There is nobody more poor than the guy, a day laborer. Mm-hmm. And this organization is going to charge him $5. The guy's getting $8.50 an hour, so he's got to work 3/4 of an hour just to buy the ID card. That's the first problem with it. You have the city council's nowhere to be found. They're not standing up for the working poor. They're full of hot air, as always. They don't stand up behind
them. How much does it cost to get a green card or to become a citizen?
How much does it cost to get a driver's license?
You're not allowed to get it.
No. That wasn't the question. Not if you're allowed to. The question is, how much is it? It's a nominal fee to make an ID. It's not $5. They're profiting off this. There's a definite profit margin here.
To get
a
driver's license is like $25 or something.
Because you got all the government workers. But these folks are profiting on the actual ID itself, off the poor. So that should be step number one. City council should step in and say, no, this is not allowable. Number two, you're documenting the undocumented. Mm-hmm. So now are they allowed to take that ID and go into the voter polls and say, well, look, I've got ID. It says who I am. Can I vote?
So this
you're creating a more of a problem.
No, this is one of the problems with the right wing. Is the right wing lives in the imagination of hypothetical situations of xenophobia, of fear. If you ever listen to right wing radio, if you ever listen to Fox News, if you ever listen to you when you're on the radio, it's always these it's always these hypothetical situations where like the justification of torture is a ticking time bomb scenario. Can you torture a terrorist if there's a ticking time? That has never, ever happened in the history of the United States, but that's the whole basis of your arguments. Now, here we're talking about a simple card just to say this is who you are. And now all of a sudden you're talking about voter fraud. Next you're going to be talking about getting foods. I can already predict it. Food stamps and welfare and everything, because this is what you guys always do. It's always fear-based
but
arguments.
It's reality.
It's hypothetical arguments.
Social Security cards. $18 million annually goes into that's uncollected and unclaimed by illegal or undocumented aliens. So at that point you have, if you can do it with a Social Security card, you can certainly do it with a voter worker card.
You don't have a Social Security card if you're undocumented. Now this is the
challenge.
You
stole your sister's cousin's uncle's friends.
It's not yours. Okay, so here's the challenge. One. Here's the challenge that I've proposed to any right-wing person, okay? Let's take any undocumented person off the streets. Let's go into a DMV. Let's go into to DES. And I want you to show me them getting a driver's license, them getting food stamps, them getting welfare, because it never happens. You act like they just go into the DMV, and while all of us are waiting for 3 hours, an undocumented person just walks in there and says, give me a license plate now. And they're like, yes, sir, because you're undocumented. That doesn't happen.
They walk in with documentation that is not theirs, and they make themselves into somebody else, and they walk away with documentation, or they walk away with the ID card.
See, yes. Show me where, who, when.
How are all – how
see, you don't have – what you have is hypothetical.
Simple. It's simple.
Yes, show me who.
Individual gets in an accident on the south side. Mm-hmm. Individual produces a fake insurance card.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets stuck with it? The person who got hit who has no insurance at this point.
Who is
now,
this?
The person that hit them actually was an undocumented –
when did this happen?
Friday night.
Friday night.
Yep.
All right. Give me some references and we'll look into this.
I'm giving them to you right now. Friday afternoon, individual hits another car, gives a fake insurance card. 3 mm-hmm. hours later, TPD pulls that person over.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it illegal, David, to this card, even with this ID card, undocumented immigrants could still be arrested under SB 1070.
Yeah, there's nothing illegal about a card. I mean, I can make a card and print it out at home right now. I mean, if you go to school, you get a school ID card, you can get cards for discounts at Starbucks, you
but
know?
Your contention is it's giving these people something.
Here's the thing is, do you want to know who these people are, or do you just want to demonize them and not know who they are? Ignorance is bliss, because it's easier to target a bunch of people with no names, and all you got to do is just say they're illegals. We do the same thing with prisoners today. What we do is we say, you know, someone can get in jail for the smallest thing, and we'll say, you know what, you're a criminal. You're now equivalent to a murderer and a rapist and someone who stole a candy bar. But it doesn't matter, because now you've been dehumanized, and now you guys are all the same. You guys all get the same punishment in the same jail, and who cares about you guys? Because you're criminals. It's a dehumanization, which is funny because this always comes from the Christians, conservatives, who should be embracing the lowest amongst us, who should be embracing the message of Jesus. And in fact, you guys dehumanize people. It's anti-Christian, if nothing else.
All right. Who's up first, Ray? Let's go to the live line. Let's take Joe first. I believe it's Joe Dreyfus. No, not Joe Dreyfus. I saw Joe and I just assumed. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
Hey, I heard you guys talking about the undocumented can get IDs and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's bull. Because I went to work at Citibank after working at AFNI for 5 years. Citibank made me change my driver's license to my birth name, which is Jose.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to motor vehicles. They told me they couldn't do it. Even though I had my birth certificate in my hand, my current driver's license, they would not give it to me.
Huh.
And I had to make a phone call, and I'm not going to tell you who I called in Phoenix to get it done.
All right. We're listening to the showdown here on the Buckmaster Show. David Morales and Sean McCluskey. Ingrid is up next. Hey, Ingrid.
Hi. I promise to bite my tongue if any foul language comes to the fore of my brain.
Thank you.
I have a lot of scars on my tongue, by the way.
Okay.
This conversation has really deteriorated to now where we have an individual discussing Christians mm-hmm. and their immorality and not serving the message of Jesus. This is insane.
Who would Jesus
people
deport?
People have come to this country illegally. They don't belong here. You're supposed to do it the right way. You come to the front door, you knock, you wait to be allowed in. You
okay.
do things the right way.
Would Jesus
Thank
deport
you.
Them?
Thank you, Ingrid.
So first of all, I just want to say people are falsely equating this ID card with a driver's license. They are falsely equating it with a whole bunch of, and this is exactly what the right wing is going to do. It's like I said, I can go to Walgreens and I'm a customer at some store. You know what I mean? It's just a card. It just says who you are. It doesn't give you any power.
You're correct. It doesn't give you any power, but it gives them identification. And it could be a library card. It could be a bank card. It could be anything. It's just like the erosion of your individual freedoms. Once you give them a little bit, then, I've got this card. Now I want a driver's license. Now I got a driver's
license.
Doing
right
now I want to
now
I want
right
to
vote.
I'm telling you, that's a logical step.
No, it's not.
Progression.
It's
yes, it
not
is.
A logical step because that does not happen in this society.
I'm going to progressively give up more and more of my freedoms so that somebody who entered this country illegally gains more and more of those freedoms you're taking from
has,
me.
How does someone has a card in their pocket and you're really losing your freedom?
Eventually, I will, yes.
Now, let me ask the listeners and you know, just general question to think about today.
Very quickly.
You know, the conservatives always say that the number one issue is immigration. How much does immigration really
is not the number one issue.
Impact you today as you go about your day today? I mean, are you tripping over immigrants? Are they jumping out of your house and stealing everything? you know, just in reality.
And what I don't think immigration is the number one topic. It would be the economy.
Exactly, absolutely.
Ask Donald Trump what the number one topic is.
No. What happens with the illegal immigrants in this country, it costs me more in schools, it costs me more in hospitals on a day-to-day basis. It costs me more for my car insurance for the undocumented individual who doesn't have car insurance and then wrecks into me and runs away.
Let's see if we can work Ray in real quickly. Hey, Ray, a question for Sean. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sean, I'm on the Pima Labor Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you were running for mayor, I believe, some years ago.
Correct, 2011.
Yeah.
And you did not say what you're saying when you came to our to us for our
endorsement. That'd have been 2009 city council.
Yeah, well, you did not talk like you're talking right now.
Hmm.
In what aspect?
What aspect, real quickly?
In terms of your position on immigration here.
Was it different?
Okay. And how you are vilifying undocumented workers here. And, you know, if you expect to ever run for office, I will personally make sure you never get our endorsement.
Wow.
Perfect.
Until you change.
I'm not going to change. I'm gonna stay here until we fix the immigration laws.
Let me just tell you
this. Okay, right real quickly, Ray, I'm out of town.
No, you'll be quiet. You will not get our endorsement.
I can live without it.
Thank you, Ray. Okay. That's going to do the showdown. All right.
It was heated as promised.
Yeah, heated as promised, and only had one person who used some foul language, but we caught him in time. There you go. All right, Sean McCluskey and David Morales, thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we'll be back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amal Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us for our summer travel segment presented by Bon Voyage Travel. Also, former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard, plus Buckmaster Show legal contributor Don Luce, all happening noon to 1 on Thursday on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming podcast show archive, all happening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 3384 East River Road. Not only are they doing these free workshops, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, but now they're doing a farmer's market and artisan market every Thursday. So that'd be tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock over at Green Things. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com. They've got a beautiful area there along the Rito, now expanded to 13 acres. Green Things. Well, the Washington Post says Lydia Millett is not as popular as she should be, but the Post declares her ambitious new novel titled Sweet Lamb of Heaven will change that. The story, which is part fast-paced thriller, part quiet meditation on the nature of God, follows a wife and husband whose lives bend in a new direction after they begin to hear a murmur of speech from a mysterious source. Writing in the New York Times, Laura Lippman said Lydia Millett's Sweet Lamb of Heaven confounded me, delightfully so. The Seattle Times says, in book after book, Millett evinces a rare capacity to surprise and fascinate readers without resorting to trickery. Unpredictable in the best sense, Millett's eye-opening stories and conceptions are irresistibly interesting. This may be her most beguiling and accessible creation yet. So the reviews keep pouring in, and everyone seems to be on the same page that this is a very special book. Sweet Lamb of Heaven is Lydia Millett's 14th book. Her third novel, My Happy Life, won the 2003 Penn Center USA Award for Fiction. She's been a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, as well as a Guggenheim Fellow, among her other honors. Lydia lives in Tucson with her two children and works for the Center for Biological Diversity. Lydia, how are you?
I'm fine. It's lovely to be here.
Well, tell me something. Have you ever heard voices?
You know, I have not heard voices myself, at least not voices that weren't there. But I did actually speak to someone who interviewed me for this book, had heard voices herself for her whole life, she told me.
Hmm. So what was the genesis? Was there something that triggered this idea?
Well, you know, I just really wanted to write a story about God and language, God and science, because I'm preoccupied with the schism that exists in this country today between people who believe uniquely in God and people who believe uniquely in science, you know, there's no reason that cultural schism should exist. There's no reason that scientists shouldn't believe in God, or that godly people shouldn't believe in science. And of course, language is a form of science. And so, and science is a language. And so I wanted to write about those things. But I, you know, it's always hard to write about ideas, because even, you know, even the idea of ideas sometimes exhausts us. And so I decided to do it in the context of a suspenseful book, of a book that, you know, followed a certain form and that contained its several mysteries, and where there was tension, and it had to be a personal story. And so that's what I did. I actually remember saying to a good friend of mine who's also a writer, I said, I have the worst idea for a book. It's the worst idea for a book I've ever had. And she said, pray tell. And I said, well, see, there's a baby, and God speaks through it, sort of like that terrible 1980s movie starring Bruce Willis, except Bruce Willis isn't God. And I'm so excited to write it, I said, and I was. It was a challenge.
So the Anna, the mother of the child, her daughter Lena, Anna begins hearing these strange voices. Kind of, I guess it's sort of a stream of words that cannot be explained. But it's interesting that when the baby is asleep, the stream of words, these voices stop.
Right. The idea is, I mean, and I'm not going to give any spoilers or whatever, but there are some various sort of, you know, small puzzles in there. You know, it's not a book that's an equation, but that's one of those puzzles, is sort of what is the connection between neurology and magic, right? And the sacred. Where does one stop and the other begin?
And Anna is in a very unhappy marriage. They're living in Anchorage. And Anna takes off for this very strange motel across the continent in Maine. But what's really strange about the motel is everybody that's checked in is hearing voices.
Right, and she doesn't find that out for many months. She doesn't actually understand why this kind of seedy, dingy motel on the coast of Maine in wintertime is so full of guests, and they keep arriving. And, you know, finally it turns out they have something in common. But it has, you know, at first quite an ominous feel to her, which changes over time.
How did this, putting this together, how is it different, kind of getting into the thriller genre? How is that different for you and your preparation?
Well, you know, it's really nice to have a certain formal structure to hang a story on, you know, where you have, there's an antagonist, there's an actual pretty clear-cut villain in this book. And, and you know, I actually have sort of specialized in the either unreliable or unsympathetic narrator in the past. It's because I find it enjoyable to look at people's blind spots, you know, and fascinating. And this isn't what we have here. This is a quite straightforward protagonist and narrator.
It may be your most linear book in that regard.
Exactly. And there was something very, I don't know, satisfying about having a sort of a straight line to work along, so that I could sort of go off and in a sort of scatter plot around it, right? So it's actually quite fun having a structure for things. Just like, I don't know if you remember in school having had to write poems that were in the form of a sonnet or whatever, you know, or even just a haiku. And there's something really nice about having formal structure. And so it was, you know, the conceit of this was going to be difficult. It was going to be a challenge tonally for me to pull off, and so I really wanted to have a nice sleek skeleton to build flesh on around.
So how much do you focus then on plot structure? How much had you previously focused on a plot structure in your earlier books?
Well, you know, they are all fairly plotted, but not really ahead of time for me. It just kind of emerges as I go along. When I'm writing, only my first two or three books did I calculate before the fact. Otherwise, since then, I've just started at the first sentence and kept on going, and there's no real malice aforethought, you know. They're not without plot. Typically, things do happen, and sometimes extreme things happen, as in this book. But I'm not really, I work more from voice and from character than from plot.
You know, I asked you, and I usually ask every author about where the genesis for the idea comes from. And I'm fascinated about the idea that all of us have when we come to the creative process. To me, the creative process is a huge mystery. Where does all of this come from? So in many ways, to answer my own question, when I ask you, was there a spark? Was there a genesis? Sometimes you think these things just sort of evolve, don't they?
Well, that's my experience, yeah. And actually, that's what makes it exciting for me. I don't want to plan. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know what's going to happen beforehand. I like to have a few sort of misty, vague ideas. You know, maybe an idea of emotion, or maybe an idea of tone. Something I want to get to, because for me, I write a book all for the sake of the last few pages. That's why I write each book that I write. That's to get to that sort of climax. I know something about that, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. And so everything to get there is just really an adventure.
So you know the idea at the end in a general sense.
In a general sense, I have a vision of where I want to go.
I love to travel, and I often tell people, it's the planning, it's the journey, it's not necessarily once I get there.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
For me, there's no roadmap, and there that's what go. Makes it fun.
Lydia, we'll be back. Stick around for another segment, okay?
All right.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show, and we will be right back.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're speaking with Lydia Millett about her new book, Sweet Lamb of Heaven, which is getting really fine reviews from, you name it, New York Times and on it goes, Washington Post. Would you say, Lydia, this book seems to be, of your 14 books, being, I mean, you've gotten wonderful acclaim in the past, but this one seems to have really had a very nice feeling to it.
Yeah, we've had a great response so far, and I'm quite happy about it. All kinds of different people seem to be reading it, which is really nice. It's always a dream of mine to have readers that I haven't had before, you know, who don't usually gravitate toward my books, and it's nice that this book is sort of crossing over to different readerships.
You love Silver City, don't you?
I do love Silver City.
And when the Center for Biological Diversity started, I believe it was over in Silver City, wasn't it?
We still have an office there, in
wow.
fact. Yeah, actually, we have a couple of people who work for us out of Silver City now. It is so beautiful. And, you know, the center really got started in the Gila there,
uh-huh.
which is just some of the most beautiful public land in this country, I think.
Well, we are delighted to have Silver City as one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about 3 hours' drive east of Tucson. Check out the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and as Lydia was saying, the Gila National Wilderness, now with the summer rains, has greened up beautiful. Great place to go do some hiking. There are many nice places to stay in the area, like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, the full listing of the many places to stay and the many things to do, listed at their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. When did you realize you wanted to be a writer?
That is a good question. I think I was quite young when I started writing. I mean, just in elementary school. In high school, I was already writing quite a bit. But actually, you know, I only sort of made the decision to try to do that professionally when I decided to stop opera singing.
Mm.
and this was in college.
Mm.
I'd always read voraciously, and I'd written seriously for already some time at that age.
Was there a book that changed your life, do you think?
You know, when I was a child, it was the Narnia books. It was C.S. Lewis. And still, actually, speaking of books and God, still when I think of God, sometimes the first image that comes into my head is the image of a gentle lion
mm-hmm.
from those books.
Well, speaking of God, we had a caller during the break that wants to know what kind of character God is.
In this book?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was interested in creating a sort of a nonpartisan God, you know, a God of everyone,
mm-hmm.
a God who couldn't be owned by any political group or candidate, you know, the sort of God that underlies all creatures and all beings. Really, I wanted to get away from this idea that I think has been so divisive in our country about sort of the ownership of God and the ownership of faith that I really do think has done an injustice to our culture.
What would you like the reader to take away from the book, Sweet Lamb of Heaven?
That is always the hardest question, the takeaway, you know, because
and
of course.
I ask it of every author I
do
interview.
You?
I
Gosh,
certainly
you're
do.
Cruel. You're
I
cruel,
know. My,
cruel
it's,
taskmaster.
It's on my list. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I always, it's important for me that readers have the freedom to take away what they wish. I think this book, it is meditative, and I'd like to think that, you know, actually with most of my books, empathy and benevolence and sort of openness are there to be to be interested in, I hope, at the end of a book.
What would your typical day be when you delve into your writing? Do you have a time of day that you like to write? Are you like Ernest Hemingway, who wrote everything? He stood up and wrote all of his work in longhand? I mean, how do you work?
I never write in longhand anymore. Who does?
Yeah.
Maybe there are, I know at least one poet who does.
Okay.
Actually. But no, I work 30 hours a week for the Center for Biological Diversity, and then I have two children. And so actually, I just write whenever I can, and sometimes it's only 15 minutes a day. Sometimes I have the luxury of an hour. But no, I do not, I have no pleasing rituals of writing that I can convey to anyone right now. It's just all a big rush and real life. And so I get it done, you know, around the corners and in the little cracks in the rest of my obligation.
You shared with us a few moments ago that as a child you were, you read a lot, let's put it that way. Are you still able to read a lot, and who are you reading at this point?
You know, I really go in fits and starts, and there are times when I don't read that much outside the mm-hmm. reading I do all day long for work, and there are times when I read for pleasure, you know, a book a day or something, but that has not been the case recently. My reading tastes are kind of all over the place. I was just reading the new novel by Claire V. Watkins, who's a friend of a friend. What was I reading before that? I mean, there's always a big pile, and I'm always, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but 10 pages into this book and 30 pages into that book, and it's,
oh,
a, it's
yes.
a terrible habit, and you can get so fractured that way.
And sometimes I'll actually go to the last chapter.
Sometimes you do the whole skip ahead. Brutal.
go right to the end. So the influences, we talked a little bit about, you know, you read a lot as a kid, and how in your 14 books has your style at all changed? Have you evolved as a writer? Do you notice a big change?
Well, I hope I have evolved. You know, you always dream of writing a better book than the book you wrote last time, right? But I think there's been a certain voice that has, you know, that has been consistent throughout many of my books. I have changed. I think emotionally I've changed. I used to be much colder and more skeptical as a writer when I was in my 20s. And then ever since this book I wrote called My Happy Life, I've been sort of a less harsh in my work and more expansive and frankly more sentimental.
Is there a particular author that influenced you?
Oh, there's so many of them. I mean, I love so many different writers. I always say Thomas Bernhardt. You know, I always name him among my sort of top five writers. Austrian writer who now dead, one of the funniest writers I've read. You know, I love Lydia Davis. She's great. There are just so many. There are too many to mention. Really, many European writers I like, but also plenty of there are plenty of funny Americans. Americans are funny. And I like to read them.
How about the whole thing with being with the Center for Biological Diversity? When did that whole thing with the a love of the environment, where did that come from in your childhood?
Well, you know, I think you know, so many children grow up surrounded by animals, right? Animal mm-hmm. imagery and just the stuff of you sort of learn humanity through animals when you're a child. You learn the qualities of goodness and all these qualities, and we think nothing of surrounding our children with animal images and sounds and everything. And then when we grow up, that all of that's supposed to disappear. We're supposed to be grown-ups now. We're not supposed to live in the world of other animals anymore. And I decided that I wanted to keep living in that world. And so I've been working for the center on and off for about 17 years, ever since I moved to Tucson. I moved here in January of 1999 from New York.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Boston, but I grew up mostly in Toronto. My father was an Egyptologist.
Wow.
And so it's a pretty specific job. And so he was at the museum and the university there.
Museum,
I grew up in Canada.
In Toronto,
correct.
Ontario.
It's called the Royal Ontario Museum.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. So he worked in the Egyptian department there. He was the curator for a while and also taught at the University of Toronto. And so that's where we were.
You know, I'm going to have to wrap this up, but I'm just curious your thoughts about the whole changeover to the digital age and how that has changed I remember when the whole thing started a few years ago, probably 20 years ago with the internet, maybe even longer, people said that folks would no longer want to pick up a book. They'll just look at it on the screen.
Well,
that
I don't.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, right. Books haven't suffered at all.
Thankfully.
Yeah, they just come in different forms.
Yes.
But I do think it's had a massive impact on our the way we perceive the world and interact with the world and how we develop as people. And just the forms of our knowledge are completely different now that we have things like Wikipedia and Google.
We've been speaking with Lydia Millett. Lydia, thank you very much for being with us and. Best of luck. The luck is already there with Sweet Lamb of Heaven. And it's available at all the usual places, I guess, correct?
Sure is. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our fine local talk shows. We do 3 hours of local talk, beginning at 6 with Wake Up Tucson, then 8 o'clock, The Daily Double, Chris DeSimone, a different guest host. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow for our Thursday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Hope you'll be with us. Ray Allen will be here with me, and Ray and I hope you have a great afternoon and evening.